In Raleigh, a big court hearing today could result in a significant development in the ongoing Leandro case, a 25-year-old lawsuit over the state's obligation to provide all North Carolina children with access to a sound basic education. Superior Court Judge David Lee could issue an order directing the state government to allocate $1.7 billion to the schools, as per a plan that's already been approved by judges. Lawmakers got an order to implement the plan earlier this year. So far, the General Assembly has not. Now to Chatham County, where Pittsboro officials are once again raising the alarm about the town's drinking water after Greensboro's wastewater treatment plant discharged high levels of the chemical 1,4-dioxane into the Haw River. That chemical is classified as a likely carcinogen or cancer-causing agent, and as 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras reports, it's not the first time this has happened, even this year.
Pittsboro commissioners were alerted to the most recent 1,4-dioxane contamination at the town's board meeting Monday night. The latest discharge of this likely carcinogen occurred on November 3rd. However, downstream communities like Pittsboro weren't notified until November 8th, just this Monday. Town commissioners like John Bonitz said that is unacceptable.
Citizens are asking, why hasn't this gotten out, and why is this board learning about it so late? No fault to staff, clearly, but it's just a really bad situation that Greensboro is able and allowed to do this and not notify us so that we can turn off our intake and shut off water withdrawals from the river for the time when the slug is passing our town.
The reported discharge into the Haw River found 767 micrograms of 1,4-dioxane per liter, according to town officials, which is far higher than the EPA recommended 35 micrograms per liter. At this time, the source of contamination is unknown. And this is not the first time Greensboro's T.Z. Osborne wastewater treatment plant has been non-compliant this year. In July, the city of Greensboro reported another excessive discharge of 1,4-dioxane into the South Buffalo Creek, an offshoot of the Haw River. Pittsboro town manager Chris Kennedy said the source of that water contamination has also still gone unidentified.
There was an independent investigation that found that they could not determine the source. Obviously, that was a frustrating answer for the town. But now here we are again, some 5-6 months later, with a 20 times over the limit discharge of 1,4-dioxane into the Haw River.
Water samples in July showed chemical levels to be 15 times higher than what is allowed and 20 times higher than what is recommended by the EPA. This placed Greensboro in violation of the special order by consent held between the North Carolina Environmental Management Commission and the city, which was established in February of 2021. Now, with the original discharge of the 1,4-dioxane occurring 5 days before the town was alerted, the town manager said it's likely that the chemical has already made its way downstream into the town's water supply. However, they won't know for certain until samples are tested. In the meantime, Commissioner Kyle Shipp said this contamination is and should be preventable, and he is willing to formally ask for both assistance and answers from the state.
We're clearly past good faith at this point with the town of Greensboro, city of Greensboro, and the state in terms of how they're dealing with this, and that they're not taking it seriously because it doesn't affect their water. It only affects our water.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Al Karras.
Back in Chapel Hill, the News and Observer reports legal trouble for a town employee who abruptly resigned last week after declaring bankruptcy last month. A lawsuit is charging that traffic engineering manager Kumar Nepali bilked Indian investors out of nearly $2 million. His attorney says it was just an investment that didn't pay out. NNO has much more on this. Town officials say they're investigating, but there's no indication Nepali did anything suspicious on the job. Meanwhile, the Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight at 7 with a full agenda, including a report on affordable housing, a vote on giving some town land to Empowerment Inc. for affordable housing development, and various other development proposals for properties on Irwin Road, Rosemary Street, and Homestead Road. Get the full agenda and the live stream link at townofchapelhill.org. Finally, with Veterans Day coming tomorrow, we take a look at one local veteran, John Spencer, who served in Vietnam over 50 years ago. Spencer had been living for decades without some of the benefits and awards that he deserved, including a Purple Heart. But that's changed now thanks to a program at the UNC School of Law, as Carolina Connection's Jada Williams reports.
Thursday afternoon, dozens of ROTC students, law students, faculty members, and military families gathered outside the UNC School of Law to see an American hero honored with the recognition he deserves. Despite the low temperature and consistent rain, law professor John Brooker energetically kicked off a truly special event.
I know the weather isn't ideal today. It's a little cold, but I hope the magic in there today makes you feel warm, because it is a magical day.
The law school held a ceremony to honor Army veteran John Spencer with his Purple Heart, a medal given to service members who were wounded or killed in combat. Despite serving in the Vietnam War 51 years ago, Spencer was not granted his Purple Heart, or any other federal benefits that come with being a veteran, until now.
Tens of thousands of North Carolinians, like Mr. Spencer, have been improperly or unfairly ejected from the military family because of their discharge type or characterization.
Brooker directs the Military and Veterans Law Clinic in the school. It's a program designed to help veterans who were barred from receiving benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs because of their discharge status. For John Spencer, his other than honorable discharge was a result of minor misconduct that Brooker and UNC law student Isabel Stevens found to be ungrounded and heavily connected to racism against Spencer. As a young black man in the service, he faced verbal attacks from superiors who deemed him lazy. He was also punished often for small infractions.
Rightfully, you know, most of the clients that we see have been wronged, and they would rightfully feel very bitter and resentful. But, you know, as you see with Mr. Spencer, he showed just an immense amount of grace.
That grace led Spencer to this moment. With his discharge status changed and his veteran status rightfully restored, John Spencer will now receive the VA medical care he lived without for 51 years. When he passes, he will be honored with a military funeral, something he's wanted for himself and his family for years.
And now I'll ask Mr. Spencer to join me in front of the flags, and I'll ask the adjutant.
And now, the Purple Heart he earned so many years ago is a treasure he can hold on to for the rest of his life.
By order of the President of the United States of America, the Purple Heart, established by General George Washington, is awarded to Private John R. Spencer, Jr. for wounds received in action in the Republic of Vietnam on April 5th, 1970.
Standing up at the podium with tears flowing down his face, Spencer delivered emotional words of thankfulness to the crowd.
I would like to thank Mr. John Brooker, Isabel, and all those young people that worked so hard for me. I would also like to thank a lot of people. I am very grateful. Got to see this in my lifetime.
The crowd offered Spencer a standing ovation with seemingly endless applause. As the crowd began to diffuse, sounds of the Army song filled the air. John Spencer is once again a part of the military family, with the honor and recognition he deserved so long ago. In Chapel Hill, I'm Jada Williams.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media, that airs Saturday mornings at 8:30 on 97.9 The Hill. It is 6:19, time now for sports, brought to you this hour by All About Insurance. The Hubert Davis era began well in Chapel Hill last night as the 19th-ranked Tar Heel men's basketball team cruised to an 83-67 season opening win over Loyola Maryland. With your recap, 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
Graduate transfer Brady Manick may only have 1 year of eligibility to use in Chapel Hill, but if Tuesday night's performance is any sign, he's making it count. Manick showcased his complete toolkit of offensive moves, scoring 20 points to lead the Tar Heels to an 83-67 season-opening win over Loyola. Though Manic opened the night scoring with a three-pointer, his next baskets came on the block in the form of floaters, layups, and hook shots. After not starting the exhibition game against Elizabeth City State, he made his case for the rest of the season against the Greyhounds. After the game, head coach Hubert Davis said he wishes he could keep Manic in the program for longer.
One of the things that I said to him in the office just a couple days ago is the only thing that I'm upset about in regards to him is that I only get to coach him 1 year. I think the best thing that I could have is to be able to coach Brady Manic for 4 years. He's been that great.
Manic didn't finish the night as UNC's leading scorer, though. That honor went to sophomore Caleb Love, who utilized his quickness and agility to score 22 points. He only scored 20 or more points twice all of last season. He also didn't turn the ball over a single time. Love, though, seemed more excited to get his head coach his first career regular season win.
I'm just happy for Coach Davis. Him being so passionate about this program, him being able to have this opportunity to step into this role for us. I'm just happy for him, and I'm happy for this team that we got the win.
Sophomore Kerwin Walton notably began the game on the bench after starting the exhibition game, but he still ended the game with 11 points and 3 made 3-pointers. The sharpshooter said rather than being disappointed by not starting, he's excited by the prospect of a team with no true starting lineup.
It kind of shows, you know, since we can play all these guys that we have a lot of people who can play. And I think that when we have a lot of guys who come off the bench, a lot of guys, I feel like every single guy that we play has the ability to start. And I mean, we have starters on our team. So I think that shows that, you know, we can put in any lineup and we'll be just fine. And I think that I have full confidence in everybody on my team and I have full confidence in myself.
One esteemed guest in the Smith Center Tuesday didn't greet Davis personally, but his presence was felt nonetheless. Former head coach Roy Williams, sitting with his wife Wanda in the corner near the Tar Heel bench. Williams may not be coaching anymore, but some things remain the same for the Basketball Hall of Famer. After a few controversial calls, Williams placed his hands behind his head in protest. Officials were unmoved by Williams' displeasure. But one thing above all will bring Williams, Davis, and every other Tar Heel fan in attendance Tuesday night a smile. Carolina is 1-0 for the 17th year in a row, and Hubert Davis currently holds the greatest winning percentage in the history of the UNC men's basketball program. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Carolina's back in action Friday, hosting Brown at 9 p.m. By the way, Tar Heels Armando Bacot and Dawson Garcia have been named to the preseason watch list for the Wooden Award that goes to the National Player of the Year. UNC women's basketball also got an easy win to open their season, 92-47 over NCANT. Similar to the men, a lot of Tar Heel women are able and willing to step up. 5 Tar Heels scored in double digits last night, led by Alyssa Usby and Carly Littlefield with 15 each. Carolina shot 54% from the field, including 7 of 14 from three-point range. Carolina's back in action Sunday at 3:30 down the road at Charlotte. One more local game. Number 9 Duke beat number 10 Kentucky 79-71 in the first game of Mike Krzyzewski's last season as head coach. Freshman Trevor Keels had 25 to lead the way. Back to UNC. Individual honors for some current and former Tar Heels coming down yesterday. First in football, where star quarterback Sam Howell has been named a semifinalist for the Davey O'Brien Award, which goes to the top QB in the nation. That award includes a fan vote component. You can get info on how to support Howell at GoHeels.com. A former Tar Heel also earned honors, Vonnie Holiday, who played defensive end in the 90s before going on to a long NFL career. He was named to the ACC's annual football honors class, which recognizes one star alum from each school in the league. And in the pool, former Tar Heel star Sue Walsh has been named one of the 100 greatest swimmers and divers of the past century by the College Swimming and Diving Coaches Association. Walsh was an Olympian in 1980 and a gold medalist at the Pan American Games in 1983. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes got another win last night, 2-1 in overtime over Tampa Bay. The Canes are back in action Friday, hosting Philadelphia at 7.